This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello and welcome once more to Country Roads Confidential. I am your host, Chris Anderson, publisher of Earsports.com, the West Virginia site on the 247sports.com network. It's the postseason. West Virginia is in the midst of recruiting. Coaches are out on the road visiting a lot of top recruits. They're trying to get kids on campus. They're trying to get kids signed. Meanwhile, the current roster is finishing up school. They are taking final exams in the next few days, finishing out the semester, and then getting started on off-season workouts. For the first time in a few years, West Virginia is not involved in a bowl game, not involved in the postseason. But that doesn't mean it's not busy. And, you know, that extends to a lot of people, not just people on the football team, because we got a special guest today, someone who has been in the spotlight in the middle of college football, representing West Virginia on national television. We welcome Mr. Tyler Gordon, who won the Dr. Pepper halftime competition for, was it $100,000 of tuition, Tyler?
Yes, it was.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not bad.
Good.
First off, let's start with you. Let's talk about you for a minute. I want to hear a little bit more about you. I mentioned that you are at West Virginia. You are an alumni, for those who don't know, or not. Well, I guess undergrad. Did you go to undergrad at West Virginia as well?
No, I didn't. I actually went to Concord University, which is in the southern part of the state.
Very familiar with it. Both of my parents actually went to Concord way back in the day.
Wow. Small world.
But you are now at WVU Law. You went on as a West Virginia, I would say, weren't afraid to show your fandom at the end there. A little trust the climb at the end. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm not ashamed of it at all. You know, I just wanted to try to get our name out there a little bit more.
Well, tell me about yourself. Are you from West Virginia? Have you been a WVU fan before you went to law school there?
Yeah, so I'm from Beckley, West Virginia, actually, which is in the southern part of the state, about 2.5 hours south of Morgantown. I've been born and raised in West Virginia. Grew up a West Virginia fan. My dad is a diehard Mountaineer. I remember, you know, sitting out in the car listening to broadcasts of games that weren't televised, even as a kid. And I grew up coming up here to Morgantown to watch the Mountaineers. It's been awesome having student tickets up here the last few years, and I'm just excited for the future and what I think Neil Brown's going to be able to do for the program.
We're going to get into that in a little bit, but this Dr. Pepper tuition challenge, I think every year we've all seen the competitions during halftime of the championship games, the conference championship games, but how does the process start? Where did you begin with? Do you sign up? Do you have to go through a raffle? How does it all work?
Yeah, so I was, the same as you, I'm sure most people listening, I'd always seen it during halftime, and it was super awesome. I never actually thought about applying to it. I just thought it was something really cool for those that won. And I was actually scrolling through Instagram one day, and an advertisement popped up, and it was a link to the application. This was back in August, right before the semester started. And I thought to myself, well, I have nothing to lose. The age range for the application was 18 to 24. I said to myself, well, I'll be turning 24 before this starts. I might as well go ahead. I could use the money, could certainly use the money. And so I went ahead, filled out my application. It included, you know, you have to write a short biography on yourself, do a video. You submit it to the folks out at Dr. Pepper. They review all of the applications, and then they select the four contestants for each conference championship game. So they called me about mid-November. I was in class, actually, and I kept getting a call from, you know, some weird number, and naturally I ignored it, but it kept calling back, kept calling back. Finally, I stepped out of class to answer, and it was the folks at Dr. Pepper who they were, you know, cheering on the phone, wanting to congratulate me, letting me know that they would be sending me out to Indianapolis December 7th.
But so you ignored the first few calls. Did they tell you that they were about one more ignore call away from just picking the next person?
No, they actually they texted me and told me, hey, this is whatever name from Dr. Pepper. Could you please answer? And I ran out of class at that point.
So you had to make a video. What was your video about? And what was the criteria for their pick? Did they, you know, ask you to do something specific? Did you have to show your fandom? What was it?
Yeah, so they're really looking at your career aspirations, your goals, how you want to use your education. And so for me, it was being a native West Virginian, the opioid epidemic that our state has faced has hit home to me. I have a lot of family, loved ones that have been affected by it. And so I really want to serve in the U.S. Attorney's Office one day, hopefully to make a difference and to combat the opioid epidemic that we have. And so that's kind of what I based my video around. And I think that kind of struck a chord with them. And I believe that's kind of what led to picking me. And it's really just based on your career aspirations and what you want to do with your education.
That's awesome. That is a great cause. I'm glad you're taking up the charge on that. Leading up to the event, so when was it that you found out? What was the time frame between when you found out and when you actually had to go compete?
Yeah, so I can't remember the exact date. It was right around mid-November. It was the week before Thanksgiving break. And
so that wasn't long at all between.
No, no, it definitely wasn't.
So you had a week or so, week and a half to get ready. How did you get ready? What were you practicing? They said on the television broadcast that you and your competitor had been, practicing a bunch. What was that practice?
Yeah, so my dad is a handyman, thankfully. Mm-hmm. He was a carpenter for a while, and they Dr. Pepper sent us the dimensions for the can, the ball size, everything. And so I sent them straight over to my dad as soon as I was able to get a hold of them. And he built a replica for me to start practicing with. So over Thanksgiving break, I went down and hauled it back up here to Morgantown with me. I got some footballs from my local high school that I went to. And I just started throwing footballs for at least an hour a day, every single day leading up to the competition.
Obviously, I got to ask you about the chest pass versus the regular throw. Was there any second guessing the chest pass despite its success?
Yeah, so I tried out the overhand throw at first just to see, because I had also, you know, you hear a lot of critiques on people using the chest pass. Critiques is a nice word, I think. But I tried out the overhand throw, and it just takes too much time. Even if you're accurate with it, I wouldn't have been able to get off, you know, I think I got off around 23 balls. That's about what I was averaging. And I wouldn't have been able to get that off with an overhand throw. So it's really about, you know, just trying to get off as many as you can and be as accurate as you can.
It's a numbers game.
And
I like
the chest pass did that.
Yeah. So your competitor, his name's slipping my mind, but did you talk to him beforehand? You talk a little trash beforehand or talk a little trash after?
Yeah. So his name is Marcus, and he goes to the University of Oklahoma. We spent the entire weekend together. So we flew into Indianapolis on Thursday. We were with one another, I mean, almost every hour of the day leading up to that competition. And so we really got to know one another. I would say there was a sense of awkwardness at first because, you know, we're here to compete against one another for $100,000. Of course, there's, you know, the competitive nature kicks in. But No, I would say by the end of it, you know, we were pretty good friends, and you know, I wanted nothing but the best for him too.
As it got started, how nervous were you? Did it kick in, or did the adrenaline kind of take over?
I think that everyone else was more nervous than I was. Actually, I will say that once I jogged up to the barrel, I was standing there. The referee was congratulating us, and then he started the countdown. And whenever he started at five, I immediately realized my legs were basically numb. I looked down at my hand that was hovering over the balls, and it was shaking uncontrollably, basically. And there for a split second, I was a little bit nervous. Wasn't sure if I'd even be able to pick up a football. But thankfully, once I started, it was kind of just muscle memory kicking in.
So you said you got 23 balls off. I believe the counter said 20, although I might argue that that number 20 might have got off after the after the whistle, but it didn't matter because I think Marcus had 17. Is that about what you were doing during practice?
Yeah, I was averaging right around 19, now let's say, during practice. So for 20, I was doing pretty good. And the record they told us was 21. So I knew that if I could get close to 20, I should be all right. And so that's kind of what I was aiming for. And during the preliminary round, because there were four of us originally, and the top two advanced to the game on Saturday, and during the preliminary round, I also threw 20. So I guess I was just kind of staying consistent with that number.
Oh, wait, I didn't know that. So there was a preliminary, like there were four people that had to compete first before you could even get on the field on TV?
Right, yeah. So there were four of us through. We went over to the stadium on Friday, and the four of us through. It was around noon on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, so I ended up getting first during the preliminary round, and Marcus came in second. He actually went through a few tiebreakers to get second place, but... Yeah, so we had to do it on Friday, and then the top two advanced to the game on Saturday.
Wow, I didn't know that. That was a little, what do they call that in the wrestling in the old days? A dark match that they don't even show on TV. You don't know what's going on. So at the end, you finish it off with your acceptance speech with a trust the climb. Did anybody from the school reach out to you beforehand or since? What's been going on after you dropped the trust the climb for the television audience?
I mean, I would tell you one thing. Marshall certainly hated it. Marshall's bar stool definitely did not like it. But I actually got a tweet from Neil Brown, which was pretty cool, pretty exciting. I had a tweeted at him prior to whenever Dr. Pepper told us that we could officially start talking about it. I tweeted at Neil Brown and told him that I would give a trust the climb if I ended up winning. And he responded to me kind of like waiting to hear, like, we'll see what happens. And so I was able to follow through with that, give it out. And he congratulated me afterwards and, thanked me for giving that trust the climb out. And so that was probably one of the coolest things that I've heard. Also, hearing from Tony Caridi was pretty awesome. So, it's been super exciting, super awesome. I kind of feel like a celebrity going to the school. It's kind of hard to study, honestly, right now.
So does that mean, are you using this opportunity to announce your intentions to enter the quarterback competition this spring? Is that what you're about to tell us?
Hey man, I have all 4 years of eligibility left, so you know, I'm happy to stay if they want me.
Speaking of, let's look at those next 4 years. You said you've been following Mountaineer football all your life. You're trusting the climb. How do you think? Well, before we look at the next four, let's look back at this year. How do you think this year, the way it came out? What do you think? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I mean, it was obviously a bit frustrating at first, but you know, you have to accept that that's just kind of we're rebuilding right now, so that's just the way it's going to be. You know, they're missing a lot of key parts that they need. They're playing with a lot of young freshmen, and so there are a lot of mistakes that you're going to see coming with that. I think that the way that they ended the year was super important, being able to get that last win. to kind of have a sense of encouragement and also get to that 5-7 mark rather than 4-8. I think it looks a little bit better, honestly. I'm encouraged by the fact that, you know, Neil Brown was able to get us to a point where every game was pretty close. You know, I think that once he gets that talent in there and is able to implement the offense that he wants to implement, once we get a running game going, we're really going to be able to start to see a difference and kind of get over that hump. One of the biggest differences for me was noticing, you know, we're not a high-powered, we're not going to score 50 points a game type of offense, and that was an adjustment, certainly, but I loved the new look on defense with Vic Koenig. You know, they really looked great. And I think that going forward, once we get that run game established, it's going to make all the difference in the world.
So what are your expectations heading into 2020? What kind of record or at least type of season do you need to see in order to keep trusting the climb?
Yeah, so I think we definitely need to get bowl game eligible at the very least. And I trust that we'll get to that point. I also want to be realistic at the same time. I think a 8-4 season is realistic, hoping for a 9-3 season, if not better. But I think that Neil Brown will be able to get us to that point, bowl game eligibility at the very least.
If you were head coach, yeah. This was our debate. This was our debate all year long. Mike and I went back and forth on it. Obviously, a ton of fans did. What would your moves have been in the quarterback situation this season? Putting you on the spot for a hot take.
Yeah, so I think I would have went with Daigie early on. I think once that Iowa State game, whenever Austin Kendall went out, I think that Daigie should have came in at that point and probably taken over from there on. Daigie was able to make the throw when we needed the throw, you know, which is what we saw in the TCU game. No, he didn't have a great game, but he was able to make the throw when we needed the throw. There were a lot of opportunities that we had, especially in that Texas Tech game. If we would have had that one back, we probably would be bowl eligible because there were so many points left on the field with just underthrown balls. With Sam James streaking down and, you know, just a ball and he needed to get 5 more yards down the field or come back 5 more yards. And so I think Daigie would have been able to make those throws in order to get that game and make us bowl eligible. I would have probably started him once Austin Kendall went out in that Iowa State game and let him take over from there.
Do you follow recruiting at all?
Yeah, I try to follow it as much as I can.
I was going to ask if there's anybody in particular in this class that you're really excited about if you follow it closely enough, because I know, you know, obviously some people like to just wait till everybody gets on campus before they really start following, but then there are a ton that enjoy, you know, learning about the future before they even get there. So if you are familiar with it, is there anybody in particular in this class that you're excited to see?
Yeah, I'm excited to see Garrett Green. You know, I'm excited to see the battle that they have at quarterback. I don't necessarily expect him to come in and win the job. But him being a Tallahassee kid, I think it would be pretty cool for him to, if he got to start out the season against Florida State next year, that would be pretty awesome to see. I know I was able to tweet a question out to him and ask him who he compared himself to most, a college quarterback. And he compared himself to Baker Mayfield and Trace McSorley from Penn State. And it was interesting because he compared himself to, you know, an undersized guy that feels like he has a lot to prove. And I think that being able to have that chip on your shoulder coming into a game is, and being able to have the mentality that you're going to work hard to get to where you need to be, that blue-collar ethic, that's a lot of what we stand for here at WVU. And so I'm really excited to see what he does going forward.
Well, Tyler, I think that'll wrap it up for this podcast. I really appreciate you coming on. Congratulations on the big win. And thank you, you know, for representing the university and the state so well and taking on such a great cause like fighting this opioid crisis.
Yeah, absolutely. And to God be the glory, man. This was an answered prayer, and I want to thank him from the bottom of my heart for this.
All right. Thanks for coming on. And to all our listeners out there, be sure to get back to earsports.com for more podcasts, more written word. We'll have more recruiting updates over the weekend with more official visitors for West Virginia. I am Chris Anderson. Thanks for listening.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.